turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. This was just coincidence. It just happened to be the next one in the closet. I like holidays where you wear green. You talk about a saint who never existed, who did something that never happened, and you get to drink beer on Sunday. Green beer, even. Romans 3. Yeah. Well, it is actually relative to the song David had this morning. I just want to read a couple of verses. Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I'm just going to stop right there, and we may go back a little bit, or forward, or sideways, and somewhere else. Well, I know I'm going to go somewhere else. It's in my notes. We don't live in a vacuum. Sometimes I think I wouldn't mind living in a vacuum. Mason and I spoke a little bit about this yesterday. Rid had made comments on it before about being a hermit. Sometimes that's desirable, let's put it that way, as opposed to being in the world that we're in now. Because I'd like to think of a life where I don't have to deal with the world, because I get vexed by the world constantly. And the reason I don't stay madder than I am is because of a possibly slightly warped sense of humor that I have, where I can laugh at things. Because if I don't laugh at them, I will get mad. Like I said, Mason, we talked about being the benefits of being hermits. And we actually, in some ways, are, as much as we can get away with. But we really don't have that option. As believers, we are not of the world. We are not of the world by the power and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are in the world by the decision of the same Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us this in John 17:14. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're not of the world, but we're in it. And this is where we're supposed to be. And this is what we have to deal with every day. Now, the beginning of that verse says, we have been given the word of the Father by the Son. Now, he's not speaking of the Bible, because it wasn't written then. Or the gospel, although he did give us that. Christ gave his disciples, and he gives believers the truth of God. The very next verse states it, John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. When Christ said, I have given them thy word, I'll tell you a secret. Them is not the world. Christ prayed for them. Christ did not pray for the world. Even though we're in it. We're not of it. He prayed for those that the Father gave him. Matter of fact, Christ did not pray for the world. And I'm going to repeat that because it bears repeating. Christ did not pray for the world. Matter of fact, he said it in an express way, I pray not for the world. I pray for them, I pray not. Just in case you might be confused with who them is and who the world is. Well, most people are. Even though it's written in black and white, I pray not for the world. Boldly proclaimed, it's a fact, Jesus Christ did not pray for this world. He prayed for those that the Father gave him. Part of what brought this to mind was, I don't know if you've heard or not, but the Catholics have elected a new pope. It was in the news. Well, they had to get a new one because the old one quit. And I don't blame the old one for quitting. I really don't. Yeah, I don't know whether the comedians have gotten to it or not, but I was contemplating whether he suffered a bout of sanity, and that's why he quit. But there's a new pope now, and it was a slow week at work. So when I have time on my hands, sometimes bad things happen at work. But this wasn't bad. I'd gone home at lunch, and I saw, you know, they had that little smokestack on top of the Vatican where the white smoke comes out. Well, there's a seagull sitting on top of it. Well, they had the picture of the seagull sitting there looking around. And, you know, why is everybody, and there's telescopic cameras focused on this stovepipe sticking out. So, you know, of course, I commented on that to Deborah, and she started texting me, and I texted her back because I wasn't busy at work. And she said, no pope yet. And I said, darn. You know? Then she texted me, when the smoke come out of the chimney? And I, of course, asked her if the seagull was still there. But it wasn't, because evidently that had been taken during the day, and it was night when the smoke come out or something. I don't know. But anyhow, the seagull wasn't there. I saw pictures of it later. Now, I did wonder, you know, what color smoke bird droppings would make, but I didn't, you know, say anything about that. But she texted me, his name was Bergoglio, or Bergoglio or something like that. And of course, with the first four letters, Berg, I dubbed him Iceberg. Just like the last one was Joey Ratz, whose name was Joseph Ratzenberger. It is something facetious I do to keep myself amused. Then she told me his pope name was Francis. Now, see, two things come to mind. One is the guy who used to talk to the animals and want to baptize the animals. St. Francis of Assisi is what he's called. He was a little bit crazy, if you read a little bit about him. One time he did supposedly float in the air. I don't know why, but he did. Supposedly, I think, in ecstasy over Mary, and I don't want to know anything more than that. But the other thing that comes to mind also is Francis the Talking Mule. Because I'm old and I've seen the old black and white movies, and I like that mule, Mason. It joined the army one time. It was a mule with a smart mouth. Sort of like Mr. Ed, but a lot more fun. So here we are with a pope who's taken the name of a talking mule, and it somehow seemed appropriate to me. Until I remembered that I like Francis the Talking Mule. I don't know anything about this guy other than the little bit I've heard. He may be a wonderful person. He may be a really nice man. I don't know, and to be honest, I really don't care.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter. Now, he had his first Mass, because this is his first Sunday. We were just listening to the news on the way up here. And he had it in a little church inside the Vatican. He didn't have one in the big basilica, you know. And then he went out, and all the people were gathered outside, and he went out there, and of course the security guards were freaking out. Because he didn't have his Pope Mobile with the bulletproof glass. However, one of the first things this new Pope... I'm in big trouble now. Darn you, Mr. Freud. one of the first things this new Pope said... Okay, the new Pope of the Catholic Church. All right. Okay. This is a quote. And this is pretty good. Let us always pray for one another. But it doesn't stop there. Debbie told me this. She texted me this. And I found it. Let us pray for the whole world. That there might be a greater sense of brotherhood. Okay. Christ said, I pray not for the world. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what he meant. And here this guy is. The first thing comes out. Let's pray for the world. And I can't help but think about going to beauty pageant contestants where they always come out and they want world peace. And I got the same thing to say to this new Pope. Good luck with it. A greater sense of brotherhood or anything else. Or world peace. Good luck with that. It's not going to happen. Because the scriptures tell a different story than the world wants. The scripture tells things differently than the story the world wants to hear. The world has always been contrary to this book. And the world will always be contrary to this book, these scriptures. I mean, I want to be honest here. Some days I don't like being in the world very much. Some days I don't even like the world, period. But some days I don't mind as much. Now, there's a reason for this. It's called circumstances. This is what I have to deal with. And what you have to deal with in your individual life. I am affected by my circumstances. I sometimes feel like Bugs Bunny said, I am a victim of circumstance. Now, I have noticed in my experience that the ratio of the bad days that I have, where I don't like the world so much, seems to be directly proportional to the number of people with whom I have to deal. The more people I have to deal with, the worse the day goes. That's the way it is. Because the more people I have to deal with is the more the world that I have to deal with. The more days I can spend at home with my wife, or I can come here and spend it with you, or I can go to the woods and take pictures of waterfalls, Jack. And take pictures of streams. And Debbie will go with me, or she won't. And we don't see anybody else. Those are good days. As long as the school bus full of children don't show up at Cranberry Glades, because then Debbie gets mad. Because she's glad they're out enjoying nature. She just wishes they'd be a lot quieter about it. But my circumstances have nothing to do with my relationship to God, because Jesus Christ did pray for me.
Yeah.
and did not pray for the world. And I am here because this is where he wants me. And you are here because this is where he wants you. We are in the world even though we're not of the world. And I'm sorry, contrary to the Pope, I will not be praying for the world. I will pray for one another. Pray for my brethren. To the best of my least ability, my weak ability, my instability, my circumstances. Because my biggest problem with this world is the people in it. I know the world's cursed, but it just seems less cursed when man's not messing with me, or I don't have to mess with man. I know it's not so, but it seems that way. This is what I deal with. John 15:19 said, if you were of the world, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Yeah. What's the saying, Walter? It's not paranoia if they are out to get you. It's reality. Believers were chosen to have these circumstances. Believers are not of this world because they were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Christ came to make a division. Christ said, do not think I come to send peace on earth. Yeah. Now, Christ is our peace. Yeah. But he's not the earth's peace. He's not the peace of the world. No. He didn't pray for the world. But he is our peace, but he's not everyone's. Jesus Christ came to send a sword. His gospel is to some the savor of life unto life. The same gospel to others is the savor of death unto death. Right. And they will not have it.
Right.
We will not have this man to reign over us, the parable goes. And that's true as true can be. The gospel was preached to everyone. What is it in Hebrew says? But some didn't have it. Not being received with faith in them that heard it. What are we talking about, Mason? Regeneration, conversion, and repentance. Life comes first. The gospel doesn't do anybody any good without life. Yeah. It's the savor of death unto death.
Right.
It's the savor of life. Life unto life.
Right.
It doesn't give life, but it's the savor of life unto life. Paul said a lot of cheerful things sometimes. At the end of that statement, he wrote, who is sufficient for these things? Well, it's not me. It's not you. It's Christ. Christ is sufficient. Jesus Christ came so that the world would hate those that believe him. That's cheerful, isn't it? You know, the soul winners leave that part out somehow. I don't understand this. Everything's supposed to be all great and wonderful, and you're supposed to be happy, and you will. You will have joy like you've never had before, and you'll have a reason for joy. But the world's still going to hate you. The world hates you because it hates him. Present tense. The Father chose his people in Christ to be hated because of Christ. This is the world that we are in, but we are not of the world, thankfully. Because knowing him, knowing Christ, is worth it. There's one thing I remember Mase Jackson saying, Walter, that hit me, that is so true. I don't know if he knew how true it was or if the people listening did. He talked about how, you know, you sometimes see the prosperity of the wicked, just like David said. They got big money and big houses and big this, and they don't have to worry about this, that, or the other, but they worry about other things, but you don't know that. But he said, if you know Christ, you have so much more than the world will ever know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
You have so much more than they have. Because this is eternal life, to know thee and him that thou hast sent. To know the Father and to know the Son is eternal life. And we are not of the world. Knowing him is worth it. His life is worth it. The world is dead and it doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
Believers live because he chose us. Believers live because he gave us life. Believers hear because he gave us ears to hear. Believers see because he gave us eyes to see. Believers understand because he gave us a heart that can understand. Believers love because he first loved us. Believers walk and work because he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, the reason for this whole thing is because I saw a bumper sticker at work. It was actually on a vehicle in the garage while we were working on it. And I had not noticed that the vehicle had been up on that lift for 2 or 3 days. Since Monday, and I think it was Wednesday when I finally noticed it. And I saw it and I laughed out loud, and then I had to explain myself. I couldn't avoid it. I mean, it was right there in front of me. I was walking right toward it, although somehow I had avoided it for 3 days. But it highlighted perfectly the horrible ignorance of this world and of the religious world in particular. The mainstream religious world is completely ignorant of the truth of Jesus Christ. And some of them actually go out of their way to advertise the fact. In this case, it was with a bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker said, "Keep the Ten Commandments." Keep the Ten Commandments. And that just hit me. It struck me as funny when I walked by it. I just laughed. And, of course, the guy working under the vehicle wanted to see what I was laughing at. Because it was up in the air, and I'm looking up in the air at it. And he said, and I said, "It says keep the Ten Commandments." And he looked at me, and I said, "You can't. I can't. Nobody can." But the religious world doesn't believe that. Even when they say it, they don't believe it. They still want you to keep those commandments.
Yeah.
And they'll say it's not for salvation, but you better keep them or there'll be big trouble. I wish I could keep the Ten Commandments. I wish you could. I wish everybody could. But I know that I cannot, you cannot, and no one else can. But people look at you funny when you say that. It's like they never considered the thought. Well, they never have. This scripture in Romans tells us what the law and the commandments are for. And this is what's not taught in churches. The law and the commandments are to show us our failure,
yeah.
our guilt,
yeah.
our failure to God. Not counting our failures to each other. It's talking about our failures toward God. And if you tell people that if they try to keep one piece of the law, they got to keep it all, then they go to all the pieces. Walter, I got that book here. I'll give it to Paul. This is about the National Sunday Law. It's written by a Seventh-day Adventist. He talks a good bit in this book about the Ten Commandments. There's a statement here I have underlined where he's talking about the Sabbath day. That's the basis of this whole book, is what he's concerned about, is worshiping on Saturday. Well, the Sabbath day was a day of rest, not necessarily worship. But anyhow, you see, this is the quote, you see, Satan hates the fourth commandment more than all others because it's the only one that tells who God really is. That's, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The creator of heaven and earth and the sea and then all that is in them is. You could worship any god and keep the other nine. Not steal, not kill, etc. But to keep the fourth commandment, you must worship the creator of the universe, who himself rested on the seventh day and commanded his people to do the same in a love relationship with himself. I don't know, Walter, I still think the first commandment's pretty important, but that's just me. And not even to bring up the fact that Christ narrowed it down to two. And I don't think the Sabbath day was mentioned in that one. The first one is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. I can't do either one of those. So we knocked it down from two to combine them down. I mean, knocked them down from 10 and combined them down to two, and I still can't keep them. Henry Mahan said, you get past the first one, then we'll talk about the second one. Yeah, that's a point.
Yeah.
I can't.
Right.
The Ten Commandments show me that I am guilty of failing the God of heaven and earth. I can't keep the Sabbath.
Yeah, right.
And keep it holy?
Keep it holy.
Holy? Now, this guy may think he can keep the Sabbath, but I want to see how he keeps it holy. This is why there were provisions made called the sacrifices, because of the failures of man. I talked about that last week. All the sacrifices, blood was shed. Because without shedding of blood, there is no remission. It all looked towards Christ's sacrifice.
Yeah. Amen.
The Ten Commandments give me a glimpse of my guilt.
Right. Yeah.
And I can't handle no more than a glimpse, Walter. I cannot see the enormity of my sin, but God can.
God can. Yeah. That's right.
Matter of fact, God did.
Yeah.
And God laid it upon his Son.
Amen.
All of my sins, all of your sins, if you believe him, all of the sins of all of his people were laid on Christ.
Yeah.
All of the failures of the Ten Commandments and the rest were laid on Christ. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Because if you don't see your guilt in the Ten Commandments, if you're trying to show somebody else their guilt in the Ten Commandments and don't see your own guilt, you don't see
right,
you the don't two see. Ten Commandments.
Right, there you go.
You don't know what it is.
That's right.
And if you want to advertise, if you want to put it up on your wall, go right ahead, as long as you know it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about anybody else. You can't help anybody else. I can't help anybody else. God's got to give life. God's got to give light. God gives knowledge. I'm not speaking against the Ten Commandments. I want to elevate them to their proper place, Amen. Which is above me.
Right.
And it's above you.
That's right.
And it's above everyone.
Right. Yeah.
Except Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
What is said about the law and the commandment? Romans 7:12 puts it this way. Wherefore the law is holy. And the commandment, holy and just and good. The law is holy. The commandment's holy, just, and good. Now, what am I? None of the above. That's where I fit in that whole equation. I am at none of the above. I've been doing multiple choice questions at work. I'm not holy, I am not just, and I am not good.
Right.
I'm not bragging, I'm not proud of this fact, but it is a fact. Man is not holy, just, or good.
Right.
He is none of the above. Matter of fact, you are none of the above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, anybody you know or ever knew is none of the above, holy, just, or good, except Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's right.
You can forget about holy, you can forget about just for a minute. I don't even know anybody good. No, not one.
Yeah.
There is none good. I cannot keep one commandment,
right,
much less 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to. I don't have to keep the 10 commandments. I'd like to, but I do not have to. Romans 3:20 put it this way, where I read it. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight.
Right.
Now, you can justify yourself in front of anybody else's sight all you want. Paul, Romans 7 said it. Or, well, I don't know if it was Romans 7. He said, according to the law, he was blameless.
Yeah.
He didn't say he was sinless. He said he was blameless. Nobody could look at him and blame him for not doing something. But then he starts talking a different tune. I wouldn't have known lust until I saw thou shalt not covet. That gets into your thinking. Don't worry about doing. Your thinking is sin. Galatians 3:10, I read a bit of this last week, but it's appropriate here. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I'm telling you, Paul was awfully cheerful someday. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God.
Right.
It is evident, for the just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
And the law is not of faith.
Right.
The man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. law is not cursed. I am.
Right.
The law is not a curse. It is holy and just and good.
Right.
But I am not, except in Christ. He has made unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I wish I could keep the Ten Commandments, but I can't. And I don't want to kid myself, and I don't want to kid nobody else, but I want people to know the Ten Commandments are not a way of life. It's a revelation of your guilt of your life that you're living now. All the world is supposed to be shown guilty, but the world doesn't see it. We see it, but we are not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And we're surrounded by it. And there is a, especially in this area, and an incredibly large portion of this world is religious. And it's a religion without knowledge, and it's a religion without light, because it is a religion without life. Christ is not the central theme, because Christ is unknown.
Yeah.
And that's how we end up with stuff like this. And that's part of what I have to deal with every day. And what you guys have to deal with. What you see and what you hear. And try not to be driven crazy by it. That's what I shoot for. And try not to hit anybody. They frown on that. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Lord, thank you for the life and the light that you have given us. Thank you for the understanding that we do have of your word, and we ask for more. We want to know more about you, the Son and the Spirit, that we might know thee more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.